Blog Talk Radio.
It's the Morning Show.
Okay, you want to rehearse it one time before we go in there?
With award-winning journalist Cheryl Smith.
I'm good, but I'm not that good.
Bringing you informative, enlightening, thought-provoking, inspiring, and entertaining talk radio.
Stand up real quick. Come on. Come on. Yeah, we gotta stand. Yo, everybody, come get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Get your bounce on. Don't be cute with it. You gotta get. Come on. Fifth one. Fourth one. Come on. Sing it.
I never knew.
They gon' wanna hit the horns.
Every morning, but you know what, there's so much stuff going on. We got 2 hours to get it done, and we want you to express yourself. This is a platform where you all can express yourself and just give some views. We don't have enough of this around, so this is why we do this every Sunday morning. As always, read your African-American newspapers no matter where you are. We have a conglomerate of news resources led by the great Cheryl Smith. We have Texas Metro News, My Eye Messenger, and the Garland Journal. No excuse for getting the news. Let it be told the way we see it from our eyes as well. So we got so much going on this morning, and we'll bring Harold in. But just to kind of give you the appetizer for the meal that we're going to have today, we're going to look at some COVID numbers that's starting to come down a little bit, see if you got your booster. We're going to look at some inflation issues going on. Christmas coming up. I know you're trying to buy some, and we'll look at that. Critical race theory. Boy, that has been a hot issue, especially here in Texas. I'm going to let the cat out of the bag a little bit. You got a brother who's at a predominantly white school district teaching about critical race theory. I don't think it's so much the theory that they're concerned with is that he has a white wife. Something to think about. A lot going on that plate this morning. We're going to look at also how the states are dealing with this critical race theory. And we'll look at it more of a historical perspective with that. I tell you, if I had a water hose, I would have put some water on that TV because Kyle Rittenhouse's tears did not even show up. I wish I could have just, no, I didn't want to ruin my television. Just artificial tears or something. I just couldn't get that. Speaking of that case, how about in Brunswick, Georgia, Al Sharpton shows up, and the attorney said he did not ask the judge not to allow the pastors in court. Are they afraid of people who are God-fearing people? It's kind of like, what's in your wallet? I want to know what's in your church. That's my question for them. So, again, so much is going on. So little time to talk about it, but we're going to attack it in 2 hours. Feel free to just jump in. All you got to do is press one. Let me know where you are with the thoughts, and we'll kick it on as soon as you get on. See, we got somebody from the Tallahassee area. Good. We want to hear what's going on in Tallahassee. I know, fam, you jamming. Hey, got to love it. They say that we bold hell. No, we ain't bold. We're just confident. We're confident.
I take it to one this week.
Well, we won last week and the week before that and the week before that. And the week before that. And guess what? Even the week before that one. So,
and
a lot
next
going
week,
on right now. A lot going on. You know, so we will address that. But, man, I tell you, what a week, what a week. I don't even know where to start. I don't know. But one thing I will start with is that right here we're looking at the gas price is over $3. I was in Florida a couple of weeks ago, and that gas is even higher. And we have all the gas here in Texas. I just can't explain it. And that's how Ricky Ricardo can't explain that. But it's good old supply and demand. Inflation, that's where they get the consumers, catches at the pumps. Now, Errol, here's something. Should President Biden tap the reserve and bring the prices down?
No.
And
I mean, I
think
you probably wouldn't ask, but that's my answer.
No. Okay. But that's what, this is what we like. And why do you say no?
Because, man, there's going to be fluctuation, and it's just starting. So why would we tap into our reserves now when the whole world is getting ready to go through a shortage? When you tap into your reserves, you want the whole world to be in a shortage, not just us. We're an emotional country. You could change the price by 10 cents. So, oh, we got to go buy toilet paper. Oh, we got to go. No, just let's see what the economy is going to do. You say you wanted to boost the economy, let these people that think they're making money spend a little money, and let's see what happens. That's my answer.
But, you know, the bulk of everything is always on the folks with little bitty checks. I ain't say short check. little bitty checks that kind of carry the economy. They're always, you know, when you got a lot of money, you just got gas. Get the gas. Don't worry about it.
Yep.
Get the gas filled up. You know, I
well,
was time, look,
I give
tell
you
an
example.
Look, let me tell Ivy a minute. Harold?
I can give you an example of how it's used. Can I tell you this right quick?
Yeah, go
usually
ahead.
Usually in the hood, the gas is higher than it is in the suburbs, but it wasn't like that this weekend because I experienced both. It was almost $3.50 in Louisville. When I got back over here, it was still $3.10. So let's just see how it goes, man. I'm not predicting anything. I'm just saying, no, he should not tap into the reserves because that's going to put the whole world in panic if we start doing that kind of stuff right now.
Well, point well taken. Point well taken. I still think, where can we go be like Brazil and some of these other countries, this alternative fuel? And I know people in the great state of Texas is all about that oil, digging all the way from West Texas all the way to East Texas. See derricks everywhere. It's all about digging and getting that money. Exxon, based right here in Dallas. Man, they in high cotton right now.
Well, Andrew, did you know that they're also investing in alternative fuels? Time, you know, us as Democrats try to invest money in it because it's not cheap. People get up in arms.
Right.
All of the major oil companies are investing in alternative fuels. You do know that, right?
Oh, absolutely.
All of them are. It's only a good business
model. Alternative fuel, Harold, alternative fuel down in Brazil is very important. And you know who owns car lots, from what I understand, down in Brazil?
Probably.
None other than your cowboy. Your cowboy owner.
That doesn't surprise me.
So it's a lot throughout the country, throughout the world that's going on.
Yeah.
But we need relief. You know, I'm just bouncing around here for a minute. San Antonio just took advantage to put 1,500 people in shelters, homeless people. Now, 1,500, that's not a big number. You know, everybody said, woo, 1,500. But San Antonio is very large. Very large.
I was going to say, it's bigger than zero.
But what are we doing to help our own?
Yeah, it's a big number to me.
Yeah, but it's just, again, with inflation, folks, we just got to hang in there a little bit. With Christmas coming, you know, we got to always satisfy, make our kids, if you got grandkids, you know, make them understand it's all about the spirit of giving, but it's all about receiving. It's not, we're going to have to change the narrative a little bit on Christmas, which is very unfortunate. We think about how Christmas never came quick enough when you were a kid. But when you got older and had kids, boy, Christmas seemed like it came the following day. But the year go by so fast. And that's where we are today with the inflation. Supply and demand, you know, we learned about it in school a little bit. All the tankers still off the coast of California. You know, what are they doing? The National Guard is going to help unload. They have to keep the ports open almost 24 hours and still behind. Why don't we divert some of that that's going into Long Beach? Go up to Seattle. Go to other ports. Or when we come into Long Beach, put it on a train, which they plan, ship it all the way to Texas, those containers, so that we can get it over to the East Coast. The infrastructure is in place. However, we just seem not to utilize the process. Something's wrong with that. The consumer, we always foot the bill for anything that's going on worldwide or even in Washington, D.C. We get to foot the bill. That's why it's so important, people, to try to vote. Not try. Just vote for the people that have your best interests in mind. They're playing political ping pong in Washington. You thought if you were Democratic that you had numbers. Well, you had some sheep and wolf. You had a wolf in sheep's clothing when it comes to some of these issues that they're dealing with in Washington. You thought we had the numbers in Senate so that Madam Vice President could come and break the tie. Not. Thought about in the House, you had a majority. Things not going right there. So what do we do? How do we handle this? Something to think about. I see we have a caller in Tallahassee area. Why don't you press 1 and tell us what you think about it? This is a, like I say, an open platform. If you press 1, I bring you on, and we got so much to talk about. We go by order. I can't wait till we get to that Kyle Rittenhouse's tears. He would have been better off bringing a wet napkin in the courtroom. But that's something else I'll talk about. For those who are listening, welcome to the World According to Drew. Again, I am Andrew Wiggum, live from Studio A here in Dallas, Texas. And the day after, as you said, Harold, earlier, boy, the Rattlers did some things up in the bluff.
Did you
bluff that? No, I didn't go. But I was right there.
You find out about things like that after they over anyway, so I was just asking if you went, you know.
No, but I was still there. I wasn't there, but I was there.
Okay.
ESPN,
I understand.
ESPN
Plus. Well, that's a good thing.
ESPN Plus has made a lot of money off these Rattlers this year. A lot of money.
I understand.
So we'll get to it. And, folks, feel free to press 1. We'll get you in. We'll have no problems having a good conversation with some good folks throughout this country because things are different for every walk of life. Some of the interests that are in Florida may not be that interested into Texas, but from a national standpoint, we got it going on. Now, Harold, I know we've been bouncing just that fast, but let's get back to this critical race theory. It has come up again, and I'm going to sum it up real quickly. The reason why people are upset with the critical race theory, because it's dealing with the history of this country. People are in denial as it relates to race relations. Critical race theory has been around for a long time. They just put a name to it. Let's think about Juneteenth, 1800s, when the word got to Texas 2 years later. It was all right as long as they kept us working. But once we found out, watch out. And now, hell, now that we got the holiday, what they going to do now? Well, we've given them folks a holiday. Now let's go ahead and turn it up in the courthouse. Isn't that something?
You know I'm over here biting my tongue since I'm not going to be with you long day, man. But that's some juicy stuff there you saying, brother. Because it's not like people just learning about Juneteenth. It's just that after all of this time and after all of these events, especially here of late, they finally decided that we might not be able to suppress this history much longer. And so, I mean, I have to admit to you, Andrew, those of us coming, you know, socially conscious of these kind of issues, I'm watching them with all this empathy and fervor, and I'm just wondering where it's been all these years because I know they just not hearing about this, are they?
Well, let me be honest with you. When I first moved to Texas, I had no clue.
Yeah, but that was 30-some years
ago. What you came about.
That's what I'm saying. You know,
yeah.
it's It's people in California that know about it before people that even here in Texas knew about it, to be honest with you.
But here's the thing.
So it's not just a locale situation, I'm saying. And now in this day of information and this Internet that everybody's walking around and with in their hand, all we doing is Googling people fighting and, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just a broad picture of this thing, Andrew. And don't get me wrong, I'm glad people in the – but you do understand the current events is what's pushed this narrative to go ahead and make it a holiday, right?
Well, absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
and but see, here we go. We get in a position where we'll tell some of the story, but we won't tell it all. And always, this is my platform. We've learned his story in school. His story.
Yeah, that's true.
And now when it's time for history, everybody want a bucket. It's only history. When it's convenient. It's his story when we keep it not convenient. So,
do you remember when we were last talking about how now they're arguing facts? That's really where I was going with this race theory, too. How can you argue the facts and try to keep them out of school books when you're saying out of one side of your mouth that you want to teach that history of? That's really what this whole debate over this racial in the classroom history boils down to, Andrew. They only want to put out to the masses, especially even their own young, their version and narrative of how, why, and whatever. In other words, their excuse for why this country was built on our backs. That's
right.
That's it. And so when you can't start the conversation there, we're never going to come to a peaceful agreement. We're never going to come to a civil agreement. And I say just throw it in the classroom, man, and all of them, because it's going to be some of us that ain't going to even like it, because the kids going to still struggle with grades because of whatever, you know, lack of teachers or whatever. So just put the real history out there. We had to learn that false history. I can still probably dig into the columns of my mind and dig it up, some of the lies they told us about Columbus. He wasn't nothing but a thief and a dummy. I didn't know that as a child when they was teaching us about him discovering America.
Well, you know my thing. How can you discover something that's already there?
Man, well, look, the fool was commissioned to go to India and ended up in Florida, Andrew.
Ponce de Leon, everybody. But you know what?
Yeah.
The spotlight on critical race theory is hot. A lot of people don't want their kids to know how wrong the country has been. And you're wrong by not providing them information that will say that. Oh, America is great. It has some great moments and some dark moments. You know, the dark moments when you're jogging through a neighborhood and you got to fight to live. And you lose when you jump 3-1 and you get shot. Or when you go to the courtroom, as we'll see, I mentioned earlier, that the attorney is more interested about who's in the courtroom instead of doing what is justice. I got a good feeling that those three guys going to get off. How you going to deputize yourself? I mean, the only time I've seen somebody deputize themselves was on the Andy Griffin Show. Citizens arrest! Citizens arrest! Who's that, Gomer? And now they're trying to... How are you going to run and lose your life? Why don't you call the officials? Okay, you follow the guy and let the officials... And you never know down in Brunswick, Georgia, you know, what would have transpired. But when you lose your life running... And Harold, how many times have you gone to a community that's building new homes where you go in and look? They look. Why can't I look?
Yeah.
I'm coming in on a motorcycle, and you think I'm stealing lumber.
It's crazy, man.
It's gotten worse.
Hey, Andrew, along those same lines, you know, I just want to say thank you to my fellow veterans, because once you sign up to defend this country, you defend it as a whole. And I think we need to kind of just put the wrap the week up talking about them. And just remember that all these politics, at the end of the day, when people sign their name on the list, I mean, don't get me wrong, I served with some people that used to say, man, I didn't know it was going to be like this. But, yeah, you're here now, so what you going to do type of situation. But just want to say thank you to all my fellow veterans that put politics aside and put their life on the line for this country. And I still say, with all our problems, ain't no place I'd rather live right now. So I just want to put that out there before I dip out of here a little later.
Well, we appreciate that, and happy belated Veterans Day to you and all. You know, Thursday I went out and went to, what was that, Chili's, and I noticed a lot of veterans were getting free plates. I started to pull out my other ID here, see if I can get a free plate. I just said that.
Hey, Andrew, I do have a special place in my heart for people that deal with veterans on a day-to-day basis. And I might eye, you are a veteran, but, you know. So don't get me wrong. I do understand it can be difficult.
I can't get all alone. I'm trying. But no,
you don't need it.
You sit back and you reflect on some of the people that were veterans within your family, the military, or veterans is about the service. And, of course, Memorial Day is about those who have died in the in their act of doing their service for this country. But, yeah, I think about my grandfather, my father, my uncle that were in the military, and, you know, what they brought to the table for me to do the things that I do today. So I am grateful to them, grateful for the men and women that have served our country. And I can't say it any other way than thank you for what you've done. May not have been rosy. Might have been some conditions that were not favorable. But, yes, you defend the honor and the Constitution of this country that we live in. So, again, happy Veterans Day. Harold, I know you took care of business down at the Golden Corral.
Nah, man, I actually just got some Denny's on the way home from work and went and got some sleep, man, because believe it or not, man, it started sounding like I was at the VA with all the veterans in there hollering and talking. So, no, I didn't hit the Golden Corral, man. I thought about it. But,
that was the meeting point. That was the place. But you know what? A lot of, as you noticed, the veterans on last Thursday, a lot of them probably don't wear a hat but once a year, Harold. Some of them have some clean hats, you know, with their companies on it. And, again, I'm just grateful. I called two of my homeboys from Tampa, Florida, that were in ROTC when I was in school, and just to tell them thank you, because they made a full career out of it for their service to the country. And actually one cried. I ain't going to tell on him. Rick, I ain't going to tell on you. Oh, sorry. cried for me just calling. I said, well, you know what?
I did a little slip. So.
Yeah. But I just told them I appreciate them. And, you know, they were always clean in them uniforms when we were in school at FAM. And I just very grateful for them and the other men and women that have served our country. So much is going on. I appreciate that. Well, look, here we go. We have Cheryl on. You know what? Let's get this critical race theory. Let's talk about what happened over in Grapevine, Colleyville School District. And we're going to get Cheryl on because I know she's ready. She's biting at the bit. After we do this, you know, you're talking about James Whitfield, black man. Colleyville. That just don't seem like it mixed to it. They offer the job, then they want to take it away. When you look at critical race, it's about telling the story. Being able to provide the information to kids, How can you move forward when you don't know where you've been? You're protecting the racist thoughts that are still prevalent in today. They didn't hang with Phil like they would have in the old days.
With the rope. Right, not with the rope.
Right. But basically, he got the rope in his career. Now, if it's all that, why is he still getting paid? Is there a little guilt there that we pay you? Well, he resigned. If you resign, you cut it out right then and there. Crazy how that unfolded. Crazy. And then they were on the page talking about he on his Facebook page, he had his wife on there. Now I think this is what got him fired. They won't admit it. You know, his wife is white. They saw the picture and they started when they wanted him to pull that down from his Facebook page. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? That you have to go through that. You know, it's a hot issue right now with a lot of folks.
Man, you know what, man? I hadn't read the updates on this thing. It's part of the reason why I'm so silent, man. Do you know that they came to an agreement with this man that he would remain on paid administrative leave through August of 2023?
Yeah.
Wow. But we've agreed that this would be our only public statement on this matter. Boy, they'll buy you silence in a minute, won't they?
If you look at Channel 5, their clip of what was on at a school board meeting. America still hurts because of what they say, what they've been done, and we can't ever get over the hurdle. And it's a shame that this generation is still carrying on like it was in the 1800s. And here's a guy, you know, American man, his choice of women was well within his range. He married a sister of life persuasion, if you want to say that for now. And that was the ammunition they needed or the gas they needed to push. It wasn't all about the critical race. But again, we've been fed his story instead of the true history of this country. Again, you know, I've always said, how can we move forward when we don't know where we've been? We have to move in the right direction. You have to tell the true story of America. And I don't care, Harold, how far we've gotten. When you go back to Mr. Rittenhouse's position, here's a white kid walking with a machine gun, walking right by the military, right by the police.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't saying nothing. Okay, let me say it the right way. Did not intervene. Did not have conversation. And let me translate that. They ain't saying that. Just related rabbi. Had it be me or you, Harold, or you and I in that situation, they'd have been calling Golden Gate.
Yeah. Man, I'm sorry. I'm kind of returning people sending me a lot of texts. Happy birthday, boys, people I ain't even know still knew me.
Well, happy birthday. You're 29 again.
Boy, if I was, boy, y'all, we'd really be having this conversation. I'd be telling y'all to stick me on out there. That was before I had too many skeletons in the closet to be in office.
Yeah, yeah. But happy birthday. Hold on, we got a call from Atlanta.
Instead of them skeletons,
hold on,
y'all brave enough to vote for me, huh?
Okay, we got a hot caller from Atlanta.
Uh-oh.
Good morning. What's reporting to Drew? What's going on in your world?
Good morning, everybody. Happy birthday, Harold.
Good morning, brother.
How's it going?
Good, man. Good.
So, Mark, what do you think about? I know you keep up with current events and the principal resigning and still getting payment for 2 years.
Which principal? I really didn't keep up with that.
James Whitfield.
As a part of his settlement, Andrew, they did say that he wouldn't talk about them specifically, but they didn't silence him on talking about this racial, you know, the issue within itself. So don't think he's going to still be out here. He just can't
but
talk
see, this
about
is what we failed,
why they decided
Harold,
to still pay him. Huh?
This is what we failed to realize. Yes, he gets his money, but he has that X on his contract now, on his resume.
Yeah.
See,
yeah,
we'll pay you, but you know what? You'll never get another job.
I don't believe that. No, I don't believe that in this case. I really don't, because they got an X on them, too. Yeah, they have an X on them, too.
Look, he won't go to South Lake.
Well, who would want to? It's right there in the backyard.
No, but I'm saying, Frisco may not have him. You see the point?
Well, he's way down the road with that. Brother might not never have to get another job. Who knows?
He maybe could write a book.
Sometimes you
got to
stand on what you believe and not your pocketbook.
Yeah,
let it take care
right.
of itself. I'm just being, I'm just throwing it out there, man. I mean, you know,
I hate birthday boy. You man.
I think a lot of people's eyes are gonna open up to this. Andrew is what I'm saying, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him, you know, continue his career in education. It might not be as a principal level in even in this, you know, in this metroplex. But if he wants to have a job, he might decide he wants to take the platform and fight this issue. Who knows? But that's his decision, how it's going to affect his family and everything. See, people, we're just looking at him. That issue affects his whole family.
You're absolutely correct. His whole family. But you know what? Sally Sue and Billie Jean and everybody else, somebody got something ringing over there. Billy Joel, Sally Sue, they were in support of their principal. They didn't want to show that. If you look at the clip from Channel 5, when he walked out, the kids were in support of him.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I knew he had a lot of support. And, you know, within the district and within the neighborhood, that's basically what I was trying to hint on. Just because that school district, you know, had to come to this conclusion don't mean that he doesn't have no support.
But that's how they roll out of Collinville. You know, first of all, even if I had the education, I don't think I could roll out there like that. Because, you know, I really got that tan they can't stand. They went with a brother fair complexion.
Unfiltered melanin. Undiluted melanin.
You're right. You know, they would have stood there and said, "Nah, we can't put him. He might wear a dashiki at work."
That's a rare thing, brother.
But I'm just saying how this critical race theory has warped minds. People don't want to tell all the truth about the history of this country. If you all get a chance, Colin Kaepernick's documentary that's on Netflix. You got to see it.
Yeah, I saw that.
He made very interesting analogies of the brothers, how when they go to combines, they've been evaluated just like they did slaves. Mm-hmm. Who's the strongest, the biggest, the fastest? Want you to be a beast, be a killer on the field.
They don't want you to be smart either.
Yeah.
See what happened to Myron Rowe.
Give you enough money so you can spend it, but we won't teach you about budgeting. We won't teach you about the finance side of it. We're going to let you mush your brain up and not give you compensation for all the head injuries. And we talked about that weeks ago, how they want to say that they'll give, and hypothetically, John White will get more money than John Black when it comes to concussion. But John Black is running back, which uses his head. Lyman uses his head. But you don't want to compensate them for what they've endured. So it's crazy. It is crazy out there right now. But for this pure principle, they wanted to fire him, but I guess they gave him an opportunity. But I said, believe it or not, it's not the money, he'll get it. It's the mark that he has on his record. And you know what? The next school district that he potentially goes to, if he continued to do secondary education, they will not want the mark of the attention on their school district. And that's why I say he's been marked for life. Now, if he go to higher education, there's a chance that he can survive. If he writes a book, he can survive and go on a circuit and talk about it all the time. But America needs to wake up and realize the good, bad, and the ugly associated with our country. You know, when it comes to African Americans, we did not ask to come over here. Every other race and creed have come on their own. And we're not part of that America pie, the American pie. Wake up, America. And understand critical race theory is only pulling the skin off that onion. Long as that onion is within that skin, you never know. It will never make you cry. But as soon as you cut it and peel it back, then you'll understand what we've gone through. You can't keep onion skin on us forever. You can take our jobs, take everything, but nothing erase our contributions to this country,
to this world.
And some people still can't deal with that. And until we come together, which we haven't, even the you know what I'm talking about, the resurgence of what them folks did in Washington, it'll never get there. It is truly black and white in this country. From Wisconsin to Georgia, from New York to California, it's all there. And we can bat our eyes, close our eyes, but we still, it's there. We've lived it. We've lived it. And we'll continue to live. Driving while black, getting pulled over, people still getting shot. But again, if I can't say it, I will say this. We need to keep the preachers out of the courtroom. If it would have been back in the old days, preachers would not have been the choice words. You know what he meant. And it's sad that you can deputize yourself and hurt somebody. Had the shoe been on the other foot, the trial would have been over by now. Would have been over. Because you can't shoot one of our kids. And who is the genius, if it wasn't for the film, they saw the film, As one lady said, they saw the film and did nothing. Once we saw it, then we brought it to light. So they were trying to push that under the rug. They don't value a life, especially a life of color. We've never asked for handouts. We've literally worked for everything we've ever got. But when the day is down, or when the sun goes down, and then it rises the next day, the same thing today was the same thing yesterday, and probably be the same thing tomorrow. For those who are listening, welcome to the world according to Drew. It's about 50 minutes after the hour. I'm Andrew Wiggum live from Studio 8 this morning. A little brisk here in Dallas this morning. I see we have some folks from the great state of Florida. Hopefully they'll chime in a little bit. I know they got a busy day working. We got Mark in Atlanta. Mark, what's going on in Atlanta right now? How are they looking at Brunswick?
How are they looking at what?
Hello? What's going on?
Can you hear me?
How are you all looking at what's going on down in the southeast corner of Georgia?
Well, you know, I can't say I look at local news, but you know, from looking at MSNBC, you know, they're not too optimistic about, you know, a favorable verdict.
Yeah, I believe that as well.
So, you know, we just have to keep on pushing on, and we need to do our thing. It's time not to do our thing. We got the resources, we got money, you know. If this stuff doesn't bring us together, you know, what's the purpose? I mean, That's the one thing that they fear is our unification.
Well, not only unification, it's just the idea of the positions. Even the state of Texas has changed the districts down here, Mark. Changed it in such a way that Sheila Jackson will go against another brother. They redistricting things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they'll get away with it for a minute, but, you know, the next 10 years, their population still aren't increasing that fast as ours. You know, they're dwindling. So it's only a matter of time. Then what's the next game they got to try to hold on to power?
Well, have some resurgence
All we can do is get out and vote. And we need to vote. Everybody needs to vote, you know, and not sit at home, you know.
Right.
And we need
and
to
if they stipulations,
even more.
Stipulations, like they're doing in Georgia with the stipulations they're trying to do is, hey, take your bag lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And sit there and eat. Because how are you going to... You
what would your
somebody...
ancestors ever done?
Oh.
You know, they would have sat there. Even if they had to pee, they'd have brought a pee bag with them. Excuse me.
Well, that's what it is, sir. You don't have to excuse yourself for that. Because, you know, it's almost like kids. You get out of line, you lose your space.
Yeah. We got to do what
crazy.
We got to do.
Crazy.
I mean, it's just like if somebody come up to you taking some money out your pocket, they slap you in the face and take your money. That's what government doing, and y'all ain't doing nothing about it, and y'all don't see it.
Well, we've been slapped a long time from that standpoint, from that angle you're talking about. And now
mm-hmm.
they're trying to go for the trifecta, so they're already holding us back from different things, jobs, and now you get the money, like you say, they slapping us, trying to steal.
I mean, we got athletes that can do this. We got high school athletes to say, look, I mean, if an athlete saying that they weren't going to go play in the SEC, what would happen to the SEC? all that money they got, all the money they're attracting, what would happen?
Oh, they'll lose their money.
To do this stuff.
Right.
All them said they were, that's why they're looking at Deion right now. Deion even ain't had a bit of coaching experience on this level to be no head coach at no TCU. Deion is a threat to them, to their
institution.
It's just a threat to the system, especially what he's doing at Jackson State. Oh, he done pulled these players from them. All these other colleges are gonna start that. We got to stop that. Nip that in the bud. We give Deion, we'll pay him and give him a job at a major university. Nah, Deion need to stay right there at Jackson State. He ain't hurting for no money. This is bigger than money with him being there.
Well, I still think all roads lead to Pensacola Street. And right there at Ames and Pensacola. I think that's where all roads end for him.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, with the resurgence, and they call it the resurgence of our historically black colleges. They've been doing their thing for years.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And now the notoriety and a lot of people, that's why the critical race, they feel, oh, my God, they're gaining ground again.
Uh-huh.
What can we do to get back where we were? Which is very unfortunate, very unfortunate.
Make them pay. That's what they can do. Like I said, bring these athletes back to HBCUs and see what happens.
I was looking at a clip yesterday.
Like, take them away from Alabama. The state of Alabama ain't got two football teams that's bringing that state some money. Take the money away from Tuscaloosa. See what happens.
Well, they would say, what happened?
None of these white coaches will get all these million-dollar salaries. Cut all that out.
$5 million. And the kids still can't recognize the alphabet when they leave.
Uh-huh.
Still can't recognize it. I still think about Dexter Manley. He has a degree from Oklahoma State University.
Mm-hmm.
Played in a couple Super Bowls, all pro defensive lineman. Got caught sneaking into school, elementary school, trying to learn how to read after a luxurious NFL career.
Mm.
And he has a degree.
Yep.
He has a degree. And can't read. Cannot read. Isn't that something? Craziness in America. All about the bottom line. Now John Gruden, speaking of NFL, now he wants to sue the NFL. I'm still hot over the fact that you can let Cam go because he don't want to take the shot. Rodgers did not take the shot, and they cleared him this week to play.
Yep.
Only in America. And folks, that should be enough to piss you off. Make you get out, as Mark mentioned earlier, get out here and vote. Make a difference in the vote. It's by voting.
Yeah, these folks slap us in the face and people don't see it. They don't feel the slap in the face that they get.
You only have teeth. I don't know why you get slapped from one side and then the other side you get slapped to where it was next. A punch in the face? Folks, we got to get riled up about something. You know, everybody that's listening, we only have a few more years left on this earth. But let's leave this place better for our kids than what we received. Because we definitely got a leg up on our families, our parents. Continue that legacy and move forward so the next generation of leaders will have a platform to work upon. because the worst thing they ever could have done that they're thinking, we allow them to read and write and to go on to college. And then they have their own school with a coach talking noise that's winning. And not only are they athletes, they're athletes with education. I still think, and they never got the front press. What's the gentleman role from
Myron Rowe?
State
yeah, I was talking about him earlier. Myron Rowe, yeah.
Yeah. Now, he said some things that are a little controversial to make me think, oh, Lord, Jesus, what's going on? However, he's in a position where he can make a big difference in the lives of a lot of football players. You pass up an NFL career, excuse me, to go to Oxford, become
well,
a role
no,
scholar.
The NFL didn't want him. The NFL, like I said, they didn't want educated players. They want players that got drama in their life. They want the Devontae's and the Mario's and all them people, you know. They don't want no scholar playing in no defensive back.
Pookie and Ray Ray. Well, they kind of treated Sherman like that too. You know, Sherman got his degree from Stanford.
Uh-huh.
And he negotiated his own contract. They didn't like that. Oh, uh-huh. Boy, they couldn't.
That happened to my friend's brother, Morgan. You know, he was too much of a voice. They made an example of him. They tried to make an example of him negotiating his own contract. You know, he was too smart. You know, this guy graduated with a 3.8 average. You know, no.
Yeah, they don't want
you to be a
smart. I mean, he just knew too much for their liking.
Yeah, this guy was All-American football, All-American baseball, and valedictorian in high school. That's too much for him.
Yes, it is. All right. We're going to get one more call, Mark. We're going to get one more call, and then we're going to do our Black College Sports. Hold on.
Yes, sir.
All right, from 813, welcome to the World According to Drew. What's going on in your world?
Good morning, gentlemen. Don't have a whole lot of time, but I came in. I don't know how much about that critical race theory you discussed, but it's just another example of anytime we try to empower our own people and educate them and educate the masses, they will try to flip it. I mean, you think about the civil rights movement of the 60s. They tried to make Martin Luther King a communist. Same thing with the Black Panther Party. You look at the whole thing we came up with, you know, with Black Lives Matter movement, and they tried to make it seem like we're saying only Black Lives Matter. So it's just another example of what always happens. Like Mark says, they're fearful of us being able to have a united front. And it's, I mean, talk about the athletes, and we've talked about this before, what would happen if all of these four-star, five-star, you know, whatever they call them, prospects start choosing HBCUs over PWIs, you know, how that could flip the script, you know, on them. But, you know, one of the good things, I guess, that you're good to see, you know, we see people like LeBron do a school because education is still – one of the primary ways for us to change our economic situation and empowering people to be able to have a seat at the table where we can try to effectively make change, because people a lot of times are just fearful of what they don't know about. So from a cultural standpoint, if you get more people that look like us on boards and in these executive boardrooms, at least the people who have some moral fiber in their being will realize that, oh, well, dang, all my life I've been taught that these people are just uneducated and uncouth and, you know, that they, you know, they stereotype us. And it's an eye-opening experience when they realize, wow, these people actually have more in common with me than we don't have in common. So it's good to see the athletes as they gradually begin to support the HBCUs, you know, fan with the thing with LeBron. You know, I like the fact LeBron got his school, but now you've seen the push with the other pro athletes. And really it seems to be a trend somewhat. Hopefully it can continue, where they begin to support the HBCUs and encourage and talk with these young athletes about, hey, you can make it to the pro level from an HBCU. It's not an impossible thing. And as we become more and more mainstream, I mean, now weekly, I mean, whether it's on the ESPN Plus, you know, app or ESPN 3, whatever it is, we're getting more visibility. But it's just like anything. Like I said, they will try to flip the script on anything that we do. And as far as the voting, they're continuing with either gerrymandering and redrawing districts. But like Mark said, at some point, you know, it's just another obstacle, another hurdle we've got to come, you know, be able to get over as we head toward the finish line in this thing called life. But it's always going to be something. There's always going to be something because they're fearful of losing power and losing control. And they'll do anything they can to hold on to it.
Right.
And I'm going to mute myself again because I'm getting ready to head in church here shortly, but then I'll listen in.
Okay. Appreciate you. Well, Mark, he made a very valid point. You know, again, we're in a situation where people may, where they're going to divide. Remember how the rat and the cheese, you give them this maze and they go around the world, but once they get to that cheese, the experiment is over. And we've been chasing the cheese a long time. And now that we know the course and we share the course, now they're upset because we get more of that cheese than they ever wanted us to even have. And our football players, they can make a difference. They've been afforded, our professional athletes, they've been afforded the opportunity to be in arenas where thousands and thousands of people will see them, where they get money, because definitely their owners, and I hate that word, the owners of them and their services are making more than what they're making. Why can't we get those guys to pool their money together and buy a squad? Have they ever thought about that? Getting to a point where we can control, be like Mike. They still have not let the most decorated player ever in the history of the National Basketball Association have part ownership. Let's see if he can have complete ownership. He's still making more money than most people with his sneakers out there. But get him and LeBron and all these other NBA players of past and even future together. Future, current, put their dollars together. Buy a team. Yeah, I bet you get everybody trying to go play for that team. They won't have anybody. Anybody whatsoever. So, Mark, are you back with me?
Yeah, I'm here. I was looking at Halle Berry on CBS.
Oh, boy, I say, you something else.
She done got into mixed martial arts. She going to be dangerous.
Who?
that's gangster there.
Boy, you something else. But, you know, again, with everything going, we need to pool our resources. We need to not only financial resources, our mental capabilities. We've been able to think outside the box for years, and we just need people to let's get this thing together and move forward. We know what the future holds for us collectively, and we just it's tough. It's tough, but we can't let the toughness prevent us from reaching our goals. And every time you think you're stepping ahead, as I mentioned earlier, whether it's, you know, Ahmaud Arbery, Trayvon Martin, Breonna Taylor, you know, just to name a few. I guess the list continues and go on. George Floyd, I've never seen where they don't want the clergy in the courtroom. Are they afraid that God gonna get them for not being prayerful in the courtroom or what? This is crazy. And if I'm not mistaken, the judge did say, well, he can't control who's in the courtroom. But if it upsets them that much, you know, I would be there every day. Every single day, I would be there. But Mark, hold tight. It's that time. We're about 10 minutes over. Let's get some black college football. You lose your breath over black college sports. No other place to give it to you like we do it every Sunday morning. So much is going on. We've talked a little bit about critical race, a little bit just about the history. Nobody wants to know the history. You know, you got these political races start. You got the governor of Florida and the previous president and the previous vice president. All running. It's going to be a powwow on the stage when all three of those hit, and maybe even more. And we're going to see how that fares up. Now, Mark, let's go back to what's going on in Wisconsin. Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yeah, the crime Howard.
Almost 2 years ago now. It's funny how time flies. Walking down the street, can you imagine if I walked around with an M16 or something down the street, I probably wouldn't be here to talk to you today or yesterday or even tomorrow. But everybody's passing him. He said he felt threatened. You threatened me. You got the machine gun. You got the rifle. Whatever you got, you armed. And I think, too, Mark, that your mother drove you from Illinois to Wisconsin. You're a minor.
With an AR.
But they're minors. Dude. But she... She helped facilitate that by driving him across interstate lines. Now, if this was in Illinois, that's one thing. But all the way through Wisconsin, if Pookie Riri would have done that, you know they'd have been in jail. They'd have shot him down. America, are you fair? Will you ever be fair? Inquiry minds want to know. But then 2 years later, this case comes up. He's a little older. Okay? He's been coached as well as they could coach him. Excuse me. As well as they could coach him. Crying. Crying on the witness stand.
With no tears.
None. And they pretty much going to follow his testimony. You know, it used to be a little sneaky way of doing things, but they so blatant because what America sees and what America gets are two different things from this trial. You can see it wasn't much remorse. He couldn't quite get the tears out. They didn't rehearse that well with him. They could have put an onion in his top pocket. At least he got some tears that way, put some onions in his pocket or something. Or that particular day, he put some onion implants, anything. But that eye was just as dry. It's as dry as
he didn't have to wipe none.
Say what now?
He didn't have to wipe nothing.
No. He gave me the face like, oh. Many of us cry. A lot of us never got the opportunity to cry on the stand and got death.
But he thought it was cool to buy an AR-15. Oh, it just looks cool.
You know, I still think we need to ban those videos, those any war type of things for these kids to. They feeling if they do well on PlayStation, online, and then these parents are crazy enough to buy them assault rifles. And you can't tell me the mama didn't know what she was doing. First of all, was telling why are we trying to go to Wisconsin? Going to a rifle show. What? That's why I think they should get her too. He's too young to drive. Say it again.
Can they make her take the stand?
Well, I don't know how it is in Wisconsin. I think she should be able to take the stand. Because the boy can't drive. He didn't walk. She should be just as guilty as him. And the lesson that you're sitting is that a lot of parents support some of the craziness of their children. Let them know that they're liable just as well. Maybe they'll do some more parenting to try to curb that. But this was so blatant.
Mm-hmm.
So blatant with that young man. And we still haven't heard the case. I think it will be Blake's case. You look at the lady that pulled the gun and not the taser. You know, there's still remnants of what happened here in Dallas. Mistaken identity, so to speak. Going to the wrong apartment. You hear everything. But all we want is justice. But when it comes to death, why is it just us? And not justice, just us that are falling. You can't even run. Look, you can't, even George Floyd lost his life over counterfeit bill. How many people would use counterfeit? You shouldn't want to use it, but I'm sure we've handled some not knowing what we had. Because people put it back in circulation. You may get it from your favorite department store, not knowing. but lose your life. In most ways, you put the marker on it. But again, do you lose your life over a counterfeit 20? Something wrong with America. She embraces us all, but to a certain degree. We want the same love that any citizen has ever endured here in America. That's all we've ever asked. Our forefathers and foremothers came before us and made a difference in this country. Headed west, crossing over the Mississippi River. If you've ever gone over the Mississippi River, it's wide. And I'm sure we lost a lot of people on the way trying to cross the Mississippi. And then we went west, all the way to another body of water. So we've been able to do it. We've been able to follow and continue the path to greatness. But we don't want to teach you about it in school. You know, in other cultures that have been over here, they've gotten, you go throughout Texas, and they name people, streets all over Texas. Mexican generals and people of sort. But when we still got a job to do, but once we've got over here, we helped make this country. And we can't even get a piece of that apple pie. Something's wrong, folks. We need to tell the history of this country. And it's not all apple pie either. But that's what they're afraid of. The uprising of people when they get the truth. And when their kids find out, then they're going to make them look bad because they're trying to protect their kids when they're hurting them from knowing what really transpired in this country. So, folks, we really got to get in here and vote. And not only vote. Vote for what's right. Just participate in the process. Whether you're in Atlanta, Dallas, Tampa, Tallahassee, we got to make it happen, folks. We must make it happen. There's just so much going on in this world, and we have to make it go on. If you get a chance, folks, Dallas has this newspaper that is just shining. From sea to shining sea, it's Texas Metro News. Yours truly have contributed from time to time, but we want you to check it out. Cheryl Smith is doing a superb job doing this. She highlights black businesses. She has superb women on, and you must read that. Pilgrim Rest installs a new senior pastor. Reverend Wallace stepped down a few years ago. They have a new Dr. Williams that's coming over. Looks like he's from Morehouse. So it's a lot going on. Dallas is rolling. We want you to come out. If you've never been to Dallas, come on out. Not as bad as it sounds. As we approach Thanksgiving, if you know of an agency that needs turkeys or canned goods, please do that. Help those who are less fortunate than yourself. It's just a lot going on right now in this world. We have something, grand jury to weigh criminal charges against a Dallas officer who fired pepper balls at protesters. Mocha Cosmetics, Daria Jacobs works with us, and she's running for Justice of the Peace, Precinct 4, Place 2. Folks, we got to make it happen. We've got to make it happen. We're going to open up these phone lines, which they always are. Again, if you have some questions, we still got Mark on from the ATL. Mark, what else is going on? How is this race shaping up for the mayor of Atlanta, the next mayor, with Keisha Lance Bottoms deciding not to run again?
I think the I don't know the names of the people because I'm not in the city of Atlanta per se. I'm on the outskirts in DeKalb County. But coming out of the primary, well, not the primary, the before the runoff, the sister had a good amount of votes. You know, I thought Kasim Reed was going to be like a shoe-in, but that proved not to be the case. But between the sister and the brother, I don't know who's going to win this. I'd like to see the brother get in there, but
so are they top two candidates for Atlanta?
Huh?
Are they the top two candidates for Atlanta?
Well, they were in the general election. Those were the runoffs. They weren't necessarily the top two, but you know they wound up being in the runoff.
Okay.
So, but I'm surprised that you know none of the white candidates were somewhere to be around because I thought you know Atlanta had almost saw its last black mayor, but I guess that's not the case because it was
well,
close to the last. She only won by like 700 votes.
Mm-hmm. Well, we hope that's not the case because you know, Atlanta, just like most of your major cities around the world, are trying to redistrict, doing the gentrifying, as they love to say.
But you got to understand also, the state is trying to take over that airport. That airport generates billions of dollars that Maynard Jackson mm-hmm. helped to create millionaires from. He created about 800 millionaires from that airport. And the state is trying to take that over. You know, that airport is making a lot of money. And you got, you know, a lot of black people in control of that, you know.
Right. And Mark, hold that. We got another Georgian can pop in. Welcome to the world according to Drew. What's going on in your world this morning? 678. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, and happy Rattlerween to you.
Well, happy to you.
I just wanted to add on to what Mark was saying about the mayoral race in Atlanta. I live in Fayetteville, but I watch everything very close. And the female candidate, I forget her last name, but it's Felicia and Aaron, but the difference is it's by me working for MARTA, and sometimes we go out because we're still trying to get them to vote for the transit to go out in other areas. What we were hearing is even in Felicia's past position, a lot of people knew her name and knew what she stood for. The other gentleman, only a certain area knew of what he could do and what he would do. So now the caveat to the whole thing is you can't just advertise in your neighborhood and want everybody in the state to vote for you. The other problem with that election is the amount of people that did not show up. So that was the problem, and the white constituents, you know, they didn't have a voice because they were just trying to, I think, just mess up the numbers. But a lot of people thought that Kasim Reed was a shoo-in, but they are still trying to unravel some of the corruption that went on under his reign. And even though they have yet to find anything directly on him, they have a lot of people that represented him that are incarcerated. So, you know, not being in Atlanta per se, being a Fulton County resident, I don't know wholeheartedly what the mass are thinking, because I work with some people. One person said, well, I didn't like the candidates. What? What? You don't even know them. So what are you talking about? So it's just that one mindset, and I'm quite sure it's plenty more along that line. You know, I'm like, they need someone that's going to help advocate for either side. And the only commercial that I've seen someone that is a recognizable face is now Shirley Franklin, the ex-mayor, has stepped out and endorsed this young man. But it's I don't know, and I don't know why everybody dislikes Keisha. She did, from what I see, and you know, some of the things that she laid out on her agenda, she did it, and maybe that's what they don't like, is that she did it and didn't play the politics that a lot of other politicians play to the high dollar people. Say, hey, I got the money, look at me. And you know, like, especially the stuff she did on the west side where she grew up. So that may have tainted their view, but on this side, what I saw, I thought she did a great job, and not just because she's a Rattler, because she did a good job. Shirley Franklin did a good job. I was here under Maynard Jackson, and, you know, I saw a lot of this stuff unfolding, and Mark was correct about the airport, because when I was in construction, we had the company I worked for, we did a lot of additions to that airport. However, a lot of these white constituents feel that it is too black, and that the corruption that actually went through there, you know, we could have white corruption all day long, but not black corruption. But they had it, Martin Harrington had it sewn up so that they couldn't get in. So now they're trying to get in politically. Because, you know, the families were upset when they added Jackson's name to the airport. Because it used to just be Hartsfield International. And, you know, after everything went through that was already on the books that they couldn't stop, then when legislation came through, they had no choice. So the only thing that, only way, excuse me, that they believe they can take it is taking it legislatively.
Mm-hmm. So the official name is Hartsfield Jackson, or Jackson Hartsfield?
Hartsfield Jackson.
Okay. It's amazing. The more we progress, the more they try to pull us back. So
exactly.
I hearing what you're saying, and Mark, the Honorable Keisha Lance Bottom, I know she was going through some things. I know she is pretty emotional and pretty taxing, probably on her family as well. That might be, you know, one reason why she decided not to. But it's tough when you get a lot of opposition from the people that are trying to move back. You can see the resurgence over in that north. I call it not the north, but that southeast quadrant.
Yeah.
Where Turner Field is, how things mm-hmm. are changing, landscape over there all the way to the zoo, going that way. And it's, you know, trying to regain control, because we know even in Atlanta, we're well represented. But still, Georgia Pacific, Coca-Cola, what else, y'all? You got so many corporate headquarters there.
UPS.
Well.
UPS,
okay.
Delta.
Okay. And no wonder that looks like you and I are running those companies.
Exactly.
So you have the influx of Fulton County on that. You know, they Grant and all them folks turn it over in their grave right now. And that's what they can't mm-hmm. they can't understand. And thank you for UPS. I didn't know UPS was there, the headquarters there. But it's going to be interesting how the next election for the city of Atlanta, Fulton County part of it. Now, does the municipality of Atlanta, is it just Fulton County, or does it stretch any other surrounding county?
To a small section of DeKalb County.
Okay.
City of Atlanta, yeah, because some DeKalb County taxpayers pay taxes to the City of Atlanta as well as to DeKalb County over in East Atlanta, right off Memorial Drive all the way up to about 2nd Avenue or somewhere around there.
Because even the municipality of Dallas, you have the core of Dallas in Dallas County.
Mm-hmm.
And you have some of Dallas that's in Collin County, which is the same as Plano, and some that's in Denton County, up in the north suburbs. So it's, just interesting in the lay of the land, so to speak, in these major cities. What they're trying to do, and then they're annexing so much, they kind of dilute, and I repeat, dilute the color that's been in these suburbs, especially that's touching right on the line, and I'm sure Atlanta is no exception, because, you know, it's been Chocolate City for a while, but we even took over the word Chocolate City. It didn't last long, because we had the police chief was black. The sheriff was black. The district attorney was black. The city manager was black. And the mayor was black. In Dallas, y'all. In Dallas. And they slowly pulling away. I don't know if I said the fire chief. We had it all. And I can say this. When Dallas was having a lot of crime, they blamed Renee Hall, who was our police chief. A graduate of Grambling State University. They said that she didn't have control over our southeast quadrant with a lot of deaths and shootings and over there. Well, when she left office, guess what? It's still going on. And we have not heard, I'm getting real country on you on this one, not one iota about it in the news with all the killing that's going on in that southeast quadrant of our city. When she was there, what is she doing? They even got mad at the fire chief. The fire chief. Now, can they go around and control fires? They're there once they start. But they want to blame them when they have fires in the city. Come on. Crazy. Crazy. But that's what we're fighting against. I tell you, the more we think we've advanced, we've actually gone backwards in some instances. Throughout this country. And for Atlanta to have a great mayor that's pulling out, no one to stress anymore, because I'm sure it affects her family. And the real losers are the people who live in Fulton County, Atlanta, Georgia. So it's, we pray for this country to try to heal. But again, when we have this critical race, of not the theory, of not wanting us to expose the likeness. But what the kids get to see it now. You worry about the past being exposed, but what are the kids seeing right now? Right this very instant of what they're seeing. So we wish all the people in Atlanta and the surrounding area the very best. Hopefully they can keep control of that airport, which is the world's busiest airport, that Mark said created tons of millionaires of color. That's why they hate on Atlanta. Still Chocolate City. What are they going to do? Get out and vote, folks. They don't want you standing in line. Go use the restroom. And I'm just saying from a healthcare standpoint, get your Foley catheter. It sounds funny, but I'm sure if you break line, it's going to be some mess. But again, trying to deter you from coming out, trying to prevent you from doing what you need to do to keep Atlanta the same way. Reconstruction, all of this, everything we've ever read in the textbook is starting to resurface. Take your vote away. not being able to vote. Crazy. We've come too far now. There's a church song, "We Come This Far By Faith, Leaning on the Lord." See, y'all was going to get some Sunday school. That's it today. But we have to continue. So, Marcia, you say you're in that southwest quadrant of Atlanta? County?
Most eastern, more northeastern DeKalb County.
Right, and Marcia is in the, I guess, the southwest.
South, Fayette County, that's south of the airport, south of Fulton County. Or southwest, southeast of Fulton County, yeah.
And I'm sure you all have a different set of concerns in where you all are living as well. Who's the mayor? Are you actually in Decatur, Mark?
I'm in Stone Mountain, but we have a CEO. We don't have a mayor. We have a chief executive officer, which is, what's the guy's name? I can't think of his name right now. Thurman. Thurman.
Okay.
The former state representative.
What's his first name?
Michael.
Michael Thurman, yeah.
Okay. What happened to the guy that was the attorney general or something, Thurbert? Where is he now? Still in political
pitches? He died. I believe. Yeah, he died a few years ago.
Okay. Well, a lot of key people, I tell you, it's up to us to kind of keep this torch going. And, wow. But like you said, that airport is everything to you all, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we Maynard Jackson's family have they own a few restaurants there, the Fridays and something else on different concourses, and we have several other black vendors in that airport that are doing very well.
I can only imagine.
Yeah, that airport.
Imagine.
They were talking about tearing down the Delta Cargo building to build another concourse and trying to get another runway. You know, that's billions of dollars, you know, in the
right.
hands of black vendors and construction.
But you all went down to Clayton. Do they have that new runway in Clayton County now?
Well, yeah, we got the fifth runway, yeah.
Okay.
Well, actually, the whole airport is Clayton County.
Sort of, the whole
airport, because I, even though I am in Fayetteville, I'm an unincorporated Fayetteville/Riverdale. When I first moved here, that's how I used to have to write my address, write the house number, and write Fayetteville/Riverdale, Georgia, and the zip code.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't get to vote for the mayor in either city because we're in the unincorporated sector, but I'm off of one of the main streets that lead directly into the runway, which is 314. And there was churches and homes and a couple of schools that they purchased that land to make that fifth runway. And it is on the book. There will be another runway.
Yeah.
Because Clayton and Fayette, our schools, we get compensated off of the. Now, there was a big fight about that because Governor Kemp, he went in and was trying. I'm sorry, that wasn't
Casey
Kemp.
Cagle.
That was
Cagle did that.
Yeah. He went in and, you know, they tried to change it, but Riverdale and Fayetteville got together because guess what? We need that money for these schools. And so we're getting it back. So we have, on the backside of that, believe it or not, we live with the Flintstones because we have three rock quarries, and they bought up two of them, and that's where the sixth runway will be. And it's kind of wedged between 314 Riverdale Road and Georgia Highway 85,
mm-hmm.
which is going to be interesting.
Yep.
It's got to pass a lot of holes. So the noise level is going to increase in that particular area.
They just need to make an airport on another other side of town, just like Houston and Dallas. I don't know why they don't want to do that is because of Delta. Delta dominates this state. But, you know, Southwest was trying to pull up into Peachtree to cab years ago, but Delta said, we ain't having it.
Well, surprisingly, as it's kept, Southwest has really kind of grown on everybody. They're based here in Dallas, and they've maintained the Love Field forever. Love Field used to be our main airport until DFW came about. But they strategically have kept themselves, in position to make a move because they took over AirTran. I think that's what it was. When it was there in Atlanta.
Yeah.
So they picked up the route connected to major metropolitan cities, and Southwest pretty much still, their fares, they're staying competitive now, but it used to be
that ain't true.
Where Southwest you can get some good deals.
That's the illusion.
They got to make the money. Mm-hmm. But Marcia, Mark, hold on 1 second. We have a call from the Big Easy. Good morning. Welcome to the world, according to Drew. What's going on in your world, E? What's going on?
Hey, God bless you. How y'all doing today, everybody?
Good.
All right. I'm just saying, is there a black-owned mall in Atlanta that recently opened that consists nothing but 100% black-owned businesses? Is it a black-owned shopping center or black mall? Have y'all heard about that?
The Stonecrest. I'm not sure if it's the whole mall is owned, black-owned. There's a bunch of black businesses now. I don't know who owns the land.
Okay.
Who collecting rent.
Are you referring to the Black Wall Street?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's on
what's
the
that
other
about?
Side of Stonecrest where, that just opened a few weeks ago, and it's to help people with, to push you along with your business, but there are a lot of black-owned businesses that got together to start that.
Right.
They're on the side where the old Toys R Us used to be.
Okay.
It's where used to be.
So it's not where Stonecrest Mall is.
It's not actually in Stonecrest. It's across the street from Stonecrest.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So is that what's
the name of the facility?
I need to go out there.
So
well, we need more to help black businesses because, you know, whether it's a federal my mind's really got stuck on that, but there's some technical things that are associated with having a business, technicalities that are creating deficiencies in a lot of our businesses that just start up. And hopefully what's going on in Atlanta could be the model for what Dallas or New Orleans could do, some of our major cities in the world are trying to get black businesses going. Because we do have some.
If we can take over the haircare for starters.
Take over where?
Maybe we can take over black haircare for starters, all the way up to distribution to everything, you know, take it away from other people.
Yeah,
so who owns that, Mark? The Barham Brothers. They still in control of their hair products, Barham Brothers.
Well, I don't know how much control they have, but, you know, all these other companies, you know, aren't controlled by us. You know, even Dudley, I even think, may have sold out a little bit.
Here in Dallas,
we don't need nobody our hair products, you know, and we can't sell them theirs, you know. That's the bottom line. Or anything that's black related, you know.
Bonner Brothers.
Well, you know, Mark, in Dallas, he had ProLine. And I see a few things on the shelf, but I think Alberta VO5 has it now. So I know we feel the crunch here in Dallas because every time I go down I-30 going west, you used to could see the ProLine emblem up on the building. And
I
don't understand with all this black money we got, we can't take over that industry. I do not understand that.
Well, it's very obvious when you go and get your hair product. The faces that are behind the counter where all the hair products, the, as they say, unbelievable hair
like
out
a man
there,
has- mm-hmm.
you know, and hair products, they're different faces. You see very few faces of color that are running the hair shops.
Mm-hmm.
And I know with the young generation, some of the young ladies have changed quickly. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
you don't even recognize it. And I'm just saying that from personal experience, that you see
mm-hmm.
one look, and look up, it's another look the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And hair is very, the price is going up. People are getting paid well to let people cut their hair. Isn't that something?
I know in New Orleans they had a situation where they had a black lady. She was supporting Korean businesses in terms of their hair care products. And then so she decided to start her own business in terms of, I guess, a wholesale or hair care product store. And when they found that out, they just set up several businesses around her and ran her out of business. So, you know, you have a lot of these Asians who have control over that black hair care products. And I guess when blacks try to put their foot in the door, the Asians pull their resources out to, I guess, undercut black businesses and their ability to strive and succeed because they have more numbers at this point in time than you do blacks in that hair care product. So that's one possibility why you don't have as many blacks now because they're going up against not only white competition but Asian competition who are determined to keep blacks out of that hair care product industry.
Right. But here's the thing, you can control their course if you just don't buy it. You know, I mean, a lot of things you can go online, hair from Indonesia, hair from India, you know, and we are. And I love my sisters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes we can see different hairstyles and date. And so we are true consumers. But hopefully if there is some place, you know, we have to control our own wealth, too, and not worry about us getting over. But the other ones who get your money, they plant it right in our neighborhoods, but they don't live in your neighborhood. They take that money and go out north Atlanta. They go out to Kennesaw. After a while, they're going to be in Tennessee. You know, just drive on back themselves. But we don't see it that way. They have the products, they have the inventory, they get it a little cheaper, and then we just thrive on that because at one time Atlanta was known as the hair capital of the world. As far as the Bonham Brothers and other agencies there, they used to have a hair show. I don't think they have it anymore. If they do, it's not at the level it used to be.
No, it's very low key.
Yeah. That hair show used to be the biggest thing in Atlanta.
Right.
What happened?
Barbers and musicians running to Atlanta.
You know, they sold out to the highest bidder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because that's why when you go, I don't go into these beauty supply stores or whatever. I stick to mainstream Sally's because that's as close. Or if, we have one, a black owned here in, it's actually in College Park on Old National. And everybody, ooh, they high. Ooh. But guess what? And like I told them, I'd rather pay high because when you go to these beauty supply stores and when you look on that door and they tell you all sales are final and you pick up that product and you look and it has already expired. And you can't use it. You can't bring it back. And like I told my friends, they have insurance on this. So if somebody came in and stole every piece, they would be covered. But they're going to sell it to you and get that good deal on the insurance because guess what? I sold all my product. But you can't bring it back. I'm like, oh, no. And then the incident happened where some ladies, black and white, together went into a beauty supply store, and the Korean guy told the black ladies to put their purse in the locker.
Oh,
Oh, no.
And I was livid. One lady left, and the other one came up because she needed the help. Girl, bye. And that's the problem that I have, is that we settle too much for nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they control the narrative, and they only buy what they know, what you want and what you like, and the quality of it is no good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what difference does it make if you buy a flip flop for $1 and it breaks every other day? Girl, I can go back and get another one. Well, if you go back 50 days, you could have gone to Nordstrom and bought one that's going to last way longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
So we just don't, a lot of us still don't have that concept of you get what you pay for, because mm-hmm. they're looking at cheaper is better. I kept 5 cents in my pocket instead of I'm going to have to add another 5 cents when I go get that next one next week. You know, so
wow.
I don't deal with them at all.
Yeah, they
well,
you got
something that sparked my interest.
You pennies here and there is you know. You got to be able to sacrifice to make
right.
make black businesses successful.
Right.
You know, I complain about a vegan restaurant over there, a vegan restaurant. They charge about $15 for a lunch, but I go over there, you know. I go over there. I don't go to Chick-fil-A across the tracks, you know.
Right.
Hey, I'm so happy that you all joined as we wrap things up. I learned something today. I didn't know hair expired, Montia. I appreciate you telling me that.
Everything has a today.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I think I'm going to let my hair grow so I can sell it, too. I guess I'm going to do that. But I want to thank everyone for being a part of the World According to Drew as we bring things to a close. We do this every Sunday morning from 8 to 10. Central Time, 9 to 11 on the East Coast. And this is just a platform to get it out. Mark, Marcia, and Eric, as always, very grateful and humble to have you be a part of our morning. And thank you for your continued support.
Amen.
Let's get more on this. I'm pretty good this morning, but we always want you to know that we are here for you. So on behalf of Cheryl Smith and the staff, we thank you for a beautiful day. I always say, anyway, FAMU today, tomorrow, and forever. I'm out. Peace.